The 17th verse is, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And here following is a part of what the will of the Lord is. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, that certainly is a part of the will of God, isn't it? That we be filled with the Spirit. I want you to know that verse right there really is the one that convicted me, that I was not filled with the Spirit. And when I read that, I saw that that was not a suggestion. I saw that was a command. Be filled. And when I saw the verse right before it, that this is the will of God, it revolutionized my life. Because it sent me on a search to find out what this is, being filled with the Holy Ghost, and I wasn't satisfied until I was. And then verse 19 seems to follow. You know how a man who is drunk does some unusual, and we might say silly things. He says, don't be drunk with wine, but get filled with the Holy Spirit. It will have the same effect upon you. But there's no hangover. Amen. And one of the things that it will do in your life is it will do verse 19. You will find yourself not only coming up speaking in tongues, but you will find yourself speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. There's something about the opening of your life to the Spirit of God that will cause a song to rise up on the inside of you, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3 says much the same thing, and here Paul ties it to the entrance of the Word of God, the 16th verse. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, when we, perhaps then you'd like to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14, which is what I want to share with you briefly this morning, so that you will understand that during our time of worship, when we have a time of what I call free worship, for lack of another term to give it, it is worship that is not orchestrated by a particular song, or worship that is not structured by a words on a transparency or out of a hymnal or something. And it is an encouragement by the Spirit of God through the worship leader and through the instrumentalists and so on to give us an opportunity to release this melody that's in our heart, singing and making melody unto the Lord in our heart. And that may come forth from you at a time like that. It may come forth in tongues, in other tongues, or it may come forth in your natural language, English, for most of us. And in 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 14 and 15, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Now, that verse really tells us what praying in the Holy Ghost is, or what praying in the Spirit is. It is not inspired praying. It's prayer in tongues. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's clearly that, isn't it? If you pray in the Spirit, you are praying in tongues. When you pray in English, you might be praying something that feels to you very spiritual, but it is not what the Bible calls praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is praying in other tongues. Verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, or in the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. And listen to this, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Now, when you decide to pray in English, in your understanding, see, if how many of you speak English here? This is your regular language, right? When you pray with your understanding, it will come out in English, won't it? So when you pray English, you're praying out of your understanding. When you pray out of your spirit, however, you're praying in other tongues. You're praying as the Holy Spirit is giving you the language, Acts 2:4. Now, what Paul is saying here is that when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, when you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, you have the capacity to both pray in English out of your understanding and in tongues out of your spirit. But did you know you could sing in English out of your understanding, and you can sing in tongues out of your spirit? Well, how would you do that? Well, if I were going to sing in English, I might sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God." I know that's not the right words there, but you know the song, and you know that came from my understanding. Somebody wrote that. That's somebody else's song. But if I wanted to sing with the Spirit, I could do that also. I simply make a choice. I love ala beshuva le montana. Now, that didn't benefit you any because you didn't understand the words. But I was singing unto the Lord, making melody unto Him out of my heart. Do you understand that? And when we have a time of free worship, we need to be open to the Lord. Just let the Lord lead us. As the piano is playing, the instruments are playing, and so on, you might sense a song, a melody in your heart that's coming out in English. You just go on and lift that up to the Lord. Or if it comes out in tongues, you lift that up to the Lord. It might come out like this. Oh, my Lord God, I love you. I'm so grateful for what you've done for me. Jesus, I worship you with all my life. Now, see, nobody wrote that song. That comes out of my understanding. It's motivated by my relationship with Him, but it's a melody that's coming out of me in my understanding. But it may also come out in other tongues. Now you say, why would it be valuable for us all to be singing something? Wouldn't it be a lot better if we sang, "To Him who sits on the throne"? Everybody's singing the same thing at one time. Well, it would be if we were concerned about how it sounded to us. And if the reason we were singing it was for our own benefit, and if the purpose behind worship was to make us sound good. But that's not the purpose for worship. And the kind of worship, I can tell you this, that is most precious to our Heavenly Father is the kind of worship that is not orchestrated, but is the kind of worship that is sponsored by a heart that is so in love with Him. Girls, let me ask you this. Ladies, which would bless you the most? If your husband or your fiancé were to cut a poem out of a newspaper and send it to you? Or if he were to write one and give to you? Which one would bless your heart? The one that he wrote, not the one that he copied, not somebody else's melody, but his own. Huh? Amen. Some of you girls don't even know what that feels like. Shame on you men. Amen. Amen. Every woman ought to know how that feels. Glory to God. So you understand the point here, and that is that what is sponsored by your love for Him, what comes out of your heart, is that which is most pleasing to Him and blesses Him the most. And so when we have an opportunity to worship free like that, when we have a time of free worship, I want to encourage you to take advantage of it. If you sing in tongues, if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you just go on and bless the Lord. If you're not, you just bless Him out of your understanding. But in any event, just bless His holy name. Amen? Yeah. Amen. I'm going to ask the elders and the pastors if they'll come to the platform right now. Ask you to open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Luke. You say he's certainly not going to preach now, is he? No, I'm just going to share some word. Luke chapter 5. I'm going to begin to read today in the 17th verse. The subject of healing has come up several times in the last few weeks. We've had some prayer for healing, some healing ministry, and I just feel impressed to bring a teaching this morning on the subject of physical healing as it is in the Word of God. And I've chosen, there's much we can say on the subject, but I think that this really expresses some marvelous truths for us today from this particular story in Luke 5. Let's pray together. Father, as we share your word today, we acknowledge that it is not just an old story, It is not just the words of men, but holy men, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, have recorded these events, and we believe that they were recorded properly and accurately and faithfully. And I believe that as we read them today, that our hearts and minds can be illuminated, that according to Romans 8:17, faith will increase inside us so that the Word of God will be made flesh in us. We do not want just to have our minds renewed, Lord. We want to have this Word become what we are, or for us to become what the Word is. We want to think like it. We want to act like it. We want to talk like it. We want to live in it and walk in it and have it become so much a part of us that when the world sees us, they've seen the living Word, Jesus in us. And it's to that end that we give ourselves today to the reading of your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Now, on this particular day, Jesus was in a house. Matthew records this event. Mark records the event. If you want to read it later for yourself, look at Matthew 9, Mark 5, or Mark 2, I'm sorry, and you can read the story from their perspective. Jesus is in a house, and he's got a large group of people around him, most of whom apparently were religious leaders, Jewish leaders. The Pharisees were the preachers of his day, and the doctors of the law, these were the ones who were expert in the Old Testament law. If you had a question about what the law said and what it meant, you would go to one of these men, and they were the experts. And so here they were from all over the land of Israel, had gathered there that day to hear him teach. Now there's a very significant phrase following what I've just read to you. It says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now what that says to me is that the ability of God Almighty was in that house. So that anyone, regardless of who he was, notice that the word them is plural. The power of God was not present to heal one person. The power of God was present to heal them all. The power of God was present to heal them. Them, as many as needed healing. Luke 9 and 11 says that a lot of people came to Jesus on that occasion, and he healed all of them that had need of healing. Luke 6 and verse 19 says he healed them all over and over again. We find that when people came to Jesus who had need for healing, I'm talking about physical healing here, they received it. Now there are those that would read this verse and say, oh, that word heal there where it says the power of God was present to heal them, what that's referring to is the power to heal their broken spirits. But the word that is translated from the Greek heal here is the word cure. And it is a medical term. Physical healing for the body is what is in mind here. The word power that's translated in this verse is the Greek word dunamis, from which we get our English word dynamo, dynamite, dynamic. There is an enabling power present in the house that day. Do you know why the power was there? Because Jesus was there. He was the repository of the power in that day. Now, beloved, we could accurately say that a group of people had gathered in an auditorium at 4024 Highway 5, Douglasville, Georgia, on John Rogers Day. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. His power is always present to heal us. Why? because He is always present. And if He is present, His power, who would deny that the power of God is present in this room today to forgive sins? Anybody would deny that? Suppose I said the power of God was present today to get a person born again. Who would deny that? Suppose I said the power of God was present today to fill anybody and everybody with the power of the Holy Spirit. Who would deny that? Suppose I said the power of God is present here this morning to drive out every demon and every demonic evidence and oppression that is in your life today. Would anybody deny that? Then why do we wonder if the power of God is present here today to heal your body? Explain that to me. So you can't. We can't. But yet mentally we think that. If Jesus is in the house, the power to heal is in the house. Amen. If Jesus is not in the house, then what are we doing here? I mean, while I care about you, I didn't come here to see you. I came here to meet with Him that sits on the throne. Amen. And His Lamb. The power of God was present to heal them. Everybody say, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, do you understand that anybody in the house that day who was sick could have had healing because the power was present? Does that make sense? And behold, that day, here's Jesus, He's teaching, the power is there to heal them. Would you expect that among that crowd, there was a terrible crowd there that day. In fact, we're going to see in just a moment that a man who was sick tried to get in and he couldn't get in because there's so many people there. Now, when you've got a crowd that big, do you suppose there was anybody sick there? Let me ask you today, anybody who's here today who has need of healing, let me see your hands. Anybody who has need of healing, here's one back here, here's one over here, here's one over here, here's a couple over here, and here's one here. Anybody else here who has need of healing? Any group of people at any time, you're going to have some folks that need healed. I guarantee it. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, none of these guys got healed that day. Not one. None. Now watch this. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. Now palsy is a paralysis. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. That is, before Jesus. Now why do you suppose they wanted to get their friend in the house in the presence of Jesus? Because the power of the Lord was there to heal him. Amen. And they wanted to get him inside because they knew if they got him in there and they could get him in the presence, he'd get healed. Yeah. What do you call that? I call it faith. See? And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude. See, here's a large crowd of people. The house was so jammed up, they could not get one more person in there. You get the scene. So they went up on the housetop. Mark chapter 2 says, they broke up the tiling on the roof. Now you can imagine what these guys are doing. They go to a stranger's house and break up his roof. Now, you don't do that unless you know that 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 what's inside the house is what your friend needs. See, you don't break up a man's roof if you're not sure that when you get inside, your friend's going to get healed. It's not like coming forward just having somebody lay hands on you. Well, if I get it or don't get it, no big deal. You've torn up a man's house. And so they broke up the tiling And they let him down through the tiling with his couch or his pallet into the midst before Jesus. Now, you can imagine this now. Here's just like here we are in the church, and we're just talking here, and Jesus is teaching, and here's this crowd of religious people. All of a sudden, the ceiling opens up, and here comes a pallet down through, and with some ropes of some kind, apparently, and here comes a crippled man who lays down right in the midst of it. That's what happened that day. Verse 20 says, and when he saw their faith, how did he see their faith? Faith always has corresponding actions.
Right.
You can't see faith, but you'll see what faith does.
Right.
Faith will break a man's roof open. Faith will carry a man on a pallet as far as you have to carry him to get into the presence of Jesus where healing is. Faith will do something. Faith acts. Jesus saw their faith in their works. He saw their faith in the length that they were willing to go to break up a meeting to get this man in the presence where the power of the Lord was present to heal. Now notice that it wasn't he saw their sincerity. You can be as sincere as you want to be and still be sick. See, sincerity is not faith. He did not see their hope. He saw their faith. He saw their expectation. He saw their confidence in the fact that if I can just get my friend in the presence of the healer, I can get him delivered, I can get him healed, I can get his body made free, and he will no longer be bound by this awful palsy that keeps him locked to this pallet and dependent upon others to carry him from place to place. He saw their faith. Notice he didn't see their denomination. He didn't see the size of the Bible they were carrying under their arm. He didn't see any ashes on their forehead. He didn't check their credentials to see what church they were a member of. He saw their faith. He saw their faith. Beloved, that is what touches God. That is what moves God. And it's the only thing that touches Him, and it's the only thing that moves Him. Feeling sorry for your friend will not get him healed. It takes faith. It takes believing what God said is true and that He is faithful to His promises and He will do what He said He'll do. That's what faith is, and acting like you believe that the Word of God is true. He saw their faith. He said unto the man, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, that's strange, isn't it? He said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, here's a crippled man on a pallet, just been let down through the roof. And he says, your sins are forgiven. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Now, religious people do not care about the suffering of others. Religious people do not give a whit about the misery of other people. They only give any attention to or any concern to maintaining the status quo. Religious people in that day, religious people in this day. And so here is Jesus, thy sins are forgiven thee. The first thing out of their mouth is, blasphemy! Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, word of knowledge here, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? What question are you asking yourself in your hearts? Is this the question, whether it is easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or to say rise up and walk? Boy, don't you love this man.
Amen.
I mean, boy, he really knows how to go right to the heart of the matter. He said, well, let's just find out who's got the goods here today.
Right. Yeah.
You're probably asking your, that wasn't what they were asking themselves. He knew that. But he said, well, I think you're probably asking yourself, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? Amen. I tell you, he's got a sense of humor. He really knows how to deal with a situation. And then he said, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power. This is authority. This is the Greek word exousia, exousia. So that you know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to receive, or to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch and go into thine house. Now, does it strike you as interesting, the analogy that Jesus makes between the forgiveness of sins and the healing of the sick body? You know that the body is sick only because of sin. You understand that, don't you? I don't mean that an individual body is sick because of an individual sin, although that can happen. I mean, the only reason sickness is part of the human condition is because sin is a part of the human condition. And if sin were never part of the human condition, sickness would never have been a part of the human condition. The reason that people are sick is because sin has corrupted all of God's beautiful creation. Do you know that in the original creation, mosquitoes did not sting? Did you know that in the original condition, viruses and bacteria did not infect people? Did you know that in the original creation, roses didn't have thorns? You say, Pastor, how do you know that? I know that because God looked at everything and called it very good. I know that Romans 8 tells us that the whole creation is groaning in travail, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. When the full manifestation comes, everything will be returned to what He had originally constructed it to be. And then you can go walk in the woods in the middle of July and not get a case of chiggers. Won't that be grand? And you can go to Canada in the cooler climates in June and not be eaten up by mosquitoes that are the size of 747s. Amen. Amen. And you can go walking around the ball field and so on and in the woods and not get poison ivy and poison oak and poison sumac. The lion is going to lie down with a lamb. Yes. The wolf is going to lay down with a baby calf. Your child will be able to play over the hole of a rattlesnake and not fear being bit 10. Amen. Amen. You see, sin and sickness, if you understand this, beloved, sin and sickness have their root in the same place. The root is Satan's bondage. Sin and sickness have the same root, and they also have the same solution, and that solution is Jesus the Christ. He is the salvation of the world from its sin, and He is the healer of the world of its sickness. You say, do I believe in healing? Yes, I believe in healing. I believe in healing, all kinds of healing. If I didn't, I would never go to a doctor. Anybody who goes to a doctor believes in healing. Amen? See, if we didn't think it was the will of God to be healed, why would we go to the doctor? I mean, that would be a really dumb thing if we thought that the sickness was supposed to keep us holy. Give me a little less holiness, thank you very much. Amen. Doctors are in the healing business. Pharmacists are in the healing business. Say amen, Gene. Amen. Nurses are in the healing business. God Almighty is in the healing business. He's in the divine healing business. We have heard it made a mockery, this word faith healing. Well, faith healing is biblical healing. That's what Bible healing is, healing by faith. Jesus, it said here, when He saw their faith. What do you call that? I call it faith healing. I'm not embarrassed to be called a faith healer. Well, absolutely. Whenever there's faith, I see healing. Glory. Glory to God. And we ought to be seeing it more often than we do. And the reason we don't see it, now listen to me carefully, the reason we don't see it, only one reason. Absence of faith. Absence of faith. You say, Pastor, that intimidates me and it really depresses me. Well, I'm sorry, I just assume you know the truth. Right. As believe a lie. If I said to you, you could be saved from your sins by any other means other than your faith, I'd be lying to you. And if I said you could be healed by the power of God from your physical ailment with any other thing other than faith, I'd be lying to you on that too. Now you can decide, well, I didn't like what the pastor said. He made me feel bad. and it intimidated me, and so I think I'll go out and eat worms. Now, see, you can either do that, or you can say, bless God, I'm going to show him. I'm going to work on my faith. I'm going to develop my faith. I'm going to strengthen my faith. Bless God, I'm going to be healed. I'm going to show him. Oh, I'd love to be shown. So you can either get upset at me, or you can decide that what I'm giving you is the Word of God and decide to act upon what the Word of God says.
Yes.
Now, what happened to this man this day? He got his sins forgiven, and he also got his body healed. Notice this. Jesus said, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. Now, I want you to notice verse 25. And immediately he rose up. Everybody say, he rose up. Jesus didn't pick him up. He rose up. He rose up. Okay? Now here's this guy, right? He's paralyzed. Jesus, what did Jesus say to him?
Arise.
Arise. What did he say? Oh, I can't. I'm paralyzed. If it had said that, he'd still be laying there, wouldn't he?
Amen,
he'd have died on the couch.
Amen,
broken roof and all. He's still dead. Is that right?
Yes.
Jesus said, get up. He said, well, I'm sick. Don't you catch? You see? I'm sick. I can't get up. No, what did he do? Jesus said, get up. He got up.
Yeah. Amen. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah.
That's important that you understand this principle. Why did he get up? Did he get up because he felt better? No. He got up because he knew that when he heard the Word of God, if he responded to it, he would get healed. And as he got up, he got healed.
Yeah.
And the man walked out of the house through the door. Amen. Now, think about all those preachers who were there that day watching this. All they cared about was what they thought was religious blasphemy. See? No faith. All they had was religion. And that's what a lot of us have where it comes to healing. We got religion. See, we have faith regarding the forgiveness of sins. We have faith regarding the new birth. We have faith regarding the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have faith regarding the casting out of demons. We have faith regarding the deliverance from demonic oppression. But we have religion when it comes to healing. And that's why many of us are still sick. Well, Pastor, what is the remedy for that? We're getting some of it today. The Word of God doeth good like a medicine does. And so we get the Word of God. The presence of God is always there to forgive, always there to heal, always there to deliver, always there to encourage and to bless and so on. This is my, if I can use this term, this is my mantra where healing is concerned. I believe, listen to me very carefully now, and I believe I can defend this from the Word of God. I won't try to defend all of this today or we'll be here until next Sunday morning. But I'm going to say it anyway, and you prove me wrong. You go to the Word of God, and you show me out of the Word of God where this is wrong. Okay? This is what I believe the Word of God teaches. It is always the will of God to heal every person of every disease and infirmity now.
Amen.
It is always the will of God to heal every person of every disease and infirmity now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, not when we die. Deliver me from the ultimate healing. You heard people say, well, when you die, that's the ultimate healing. Not in my book, it isn't. I don't see one place where Jesus said, I'm going to give you the best healing I can give you. So I only see one place where somebody got that. That was Ananias and Sapphira. I don't call that healing. I call that judgment. It is always the will of God to heal every person of every disease and infirmity now, not tomorrow. When I pray for someone, I expect to see that healing take place now. You say, Pastor, why doesn't it always take place now? If I knew that, you couldn't get in this church. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I knew the answer to that, but I can give you a simple answer, and the simple answer is faith in some form or another is not flowing there. It might be my faith, it might be your faith, it might be the faith of the people. I do not know, but I know that where faith is, God always heals all the time now. Are you listening to what I'm saying? How do you know that, Pastor? Because the Word of God says it. Now, either you believe your experience or you believe what the Word of God says. I choose, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. If there's a way that contradicts the Word of God, I call it a false way, and I hate it. Now, when I pray for you, you need to understand this. When I pray for you, to the best of my ability, I'm releasing all the faith I have for your healing right now, right at that moment. If you get prayer from me, that is what you're getting. I want you to release your faith too, at the same time. Okay? Does that make sense to you? Do you understand what we're saying? Why is it that healing is different from anything else in the Word of God? It isn't. It isn't. By His stripes we were healed. What does that mean? The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. What does that mean? It means you need a psychiatrist like you need a hole in the head. He paid the price for our emotional peace. Do you know that Jesus is sufficient? You understand? He's enough.
That's right.
He's enough.
Yes.
He's enough.
Yes.
He's enough for your sin. He's enough for your confusion. He's enough for your poverty. He's enough for your ill health. He's enough for the entire man. If He wasn't, He wouldn't be what the Bible says He is. He is sufficient. He is adequate. The reason that we need all of these other things, I tell you, isn't it terrible that the poor people in Jesus' time did not have access to modern medicine? Isn't that a terrible thing that those poor, awful people did not have access to modern medical procedures? Now, I'm not mocking modern medicine. I'm grateful for it. Are you listening? But what are those poor people going to do when there are no kidney machines? What are they going to do when there are no surgical procedures? What are they going to do? How are they going to get healed? You say, well, it took Jesus 2,000 years to bring healing. No, it took man 2,000 years to bring some kind of healing. Jesus brought perfect, instant, complete soundness on His cross. They could have it in that day, and you can have it today. That's the truth. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Only one person got healed that day. Only one. Why is it when we have a service and we have a healing service, we lay hands on the sick, we pray for the sick, we anoint them with oil? Have you ever wondered why God made so many different ways? He said, lay your hands on them. He said, pour oil on them. He said, pray the prayer of agreement. You can go through the Bible and probably find 15 or 20 ways that God has provided healing. Why did He do that? Because He really wants you healed. He really and truly wants you to be whole in your body. And He's made lots of different ways for His grace of healing to be ministered to you. Wherever you can believe, whatever you can believe for. He wants it, and He wants it bad. Why is it when we have a healing line, we pray for 20 people and 3 get healed? You say, well, God just really, at that particular moment, He just wanted to heal those 3. I don't believe that for a minute, and I'll tell you why. My Bible says God is no respecter of persons. And do you know if He healed you and wouldn't heal me? He respected you over me. He preferred you over me. That's not the Jesus I know, and that is not the God that is revealed in His holy word. Do you understand that there have been many times when I have come into this church? It's easy for me to admit this for the simple reason that I acknowledge what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Okay? I'll come into the church, I'll be sick, one thing or another. We'll have a healing service. I'll lay hands on people. People get healed. Boom, 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 boom. I go home sick. Tell me why. That's God's fault, right? Well, there was no power here that day, right? Well, the worship wasn't any good, so the anointing wasn't flowing, right? No. No. I didn't believe him. I didn't believe him. That's that simple. It's just that simple. We make it very complicated. Suppose somebody came in one Sunday morning, there was a message on salvation, and a person came forward to get saved, and we prayed for him, and he prayed with us to receive Christ, and he walked out of here, and you saw him in the foyer, and you said, "What happened to you today?" And he said, "I don't know. Did you get saved?" "Well, I don't know. I guess not." Was the power not here to save him? What happened? Why didn't he get saved? See, we understand that, don't we? We don't have any questions about that. But we want to make this whole business of healing so complicated. It's not complicated. It's just that simple. Thy sins be forgiven thee, or get up and walk. What's the difference? The problem's the same and the solution's the same. Now, if you understand how you receive salvation, you'll understand how to receive healing. How did you receive salvation? By the grace of God. Did you earn it? What contribution did you make? What part did you play in the transaction? What part? You did play a part. What was the part? You believed it. By grace, are you saved? Through faith. Can you receive His grace without some faith? No, you can't. It's just freely offered, but it's not yours unless you receive it, is it? Is that right? Okay, healing is a grace as well. It's freely offered. It's offered to anyone. Did you notice something? That Jesus didn't check this man's testimony out and say, "Well, are you a Christian? You born again, son? Because if you're not, you can't get healed." You know that none of the people Jesus healed, Jesus did not heal one born again person. Not one. Not one born again person. How do you know? Because he was the firstborn from the dead. There weren't any born before him. He was the first. Amen. Amen. There wasn't anybody born again till he was risen from the dead. He was the first. And the 11 disciples were the sent. 10 of them, then Thomas, remember? Those are the first born again people. All of the people in the gospel, this poor guy wasn't born again. He just had faith. He just believed. So that's the principle. And the bottom line is this, that healing belongs to you. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. We think that means only the new birth, don't we? We think that means only salvation from sin. That isn't what it says. It says shall not perish. You know, you can perish with cancer too, can't you? I call that perishing. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish. Last Sunday the Lord said to us, "Didn't I say to you that if you would just believe, that you would see the glory of God?" Michael said to me the other day, he said, "You know, Pastor," he said, "I sit back in the service and I just laugh to myself. It doesn't matter where you start, you always wind up in faith." And I guess he's right. I had noticed that, but I guess he's right. But you know, that's pretty good preaching, because that's where Jesus always wound up. The principle is faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's not pleased with all these other things that we call faith. Now, I'm not going to lay hands on people today. I'm not going to have prayer for healing. But if you want to claim healing that belongs to you, you know how to get it, don't you? You get it by faith. If you want to get it this morning, stand up where you are. Just stand to your feet. Just receive it. Just receive it. Now, what would you do if God had just touched your body and you felt His healing? What would you do? Well, I'll tell you what I'd do. Oh, I'd say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you." If I really believed, I would begin to glorify God. I'd begin to magnify Him. I'd begin to tell Him how grateful I was for His salvation, for all the facets of it. I'd begin to tell Him how wonderful it was to have a whole body. Yeah, but what if I don't feel like it? Neither did this poor paralytic. He just got up off his feet. Began to glorify God. That's where healing comes. Faith expresses itself in praise. Faith expresses itself in corresponding actions. Faith always acts. Father, we bless you today for what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord, when we pray, asking you to do over again what you've already done. Help us, Lord, to know how to simply receive by faith, by honest, childlike faith, the provision that you have made. Thank you, Lord, for healing our bodies. Thank you for taking the stripes which purchased that healing. Thank you that your power is always present where the body of Jesus Christ is engaged. And thank you, Lord, that anybody who wants to be healed and wants it bad enough to believe you for it can have it, whether it be from a headache or whether it be a terminal disease, makes no difference to you. Nothing is insignificant. Nothing is too difficult. We thank you today, Father, for that which you have done among us, that which we see, that which we do not see. We know, Lord, that your power is present, resident, to heal, to deliver, and to forgive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.